Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer.
Father, we come to you with our praise, our thanks, Lord God, for you are mighty. There is none other, none greater than you, none higher than you, Lord. You created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them, and you created each of us. You created each of us for you. Forgive us, Lord, for not praising you enough. You are a merciful, kind God. Your mercies endure forever. We're here to declare the good works that you've done in our lives, to read from your word, to learn from your word. Pray, Father, that you would bless Cal and Billy and the teachers around the building that are teaching your word, Lord. Bless them. And quicken our ears, Lord, to your word, that we'll hear your word. Our lives will be changed for you and for your glory. May our lives point others to you, Jesus. What a wonderful God you are. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Please be seated. If you have your Bible this morning, I want to just read one verse, and we're going to go from there. This is not lost on me. We are starting Vacation Bible School Wednesday night. And there are so many wonderful things that are going to happen this week. And so I wanted to kind of kick off our Bible school by preaching the motto of Vacation Bible School this week. And the motto is, following Jesus changes everything. Woo! What a good topic that is. Following Jesus changes everything. And so this morning we're going to look at What does it mean to follow Jesus? How do you follow Jesus? What does that look like? And hopefully, God's going to change some attitudes. God's going to change some lives. God's going to change some paths. And we'll all walk out of here today following Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. This is going to be kind of a topical message. Bear with me because I don't do well on these, but anyways, we're in Matthew chapter 8, and I want to read one verse, verse 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Since this is a short verse, we'll honor God's word the best way we know how, by being seated. No, we're going to stand then. Okay, let's all stand. We got one amen on that, so that's why we're going to stand. If Jesus walked in here, y'all, what would you do? Well, His Spirit is right here. And so we honor His Word. All right. I'll tell you what, let me back up to verse 22 because this word's in this one too. But Jesus said to him, what? Follow me. And let the dead bury their own dead. Verse 23, now when he got into a boat, his disciples, Father, bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, authoritative, inerrant, infallible, inspired word. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Following Jesus changes everything. Look at your neighbor and say that with me. Following Jesus changes everything. Very good. Now, having said that, I ran across some statistics from Church Pew Research Center this week. And about 63% of all Americans claim to be Christian. Now, that's down from 78% just a few short years ago. But 63% of America today says, yeah, I'm a Christian. Now, that entails a huge spectrum of theological issues. How many of you know just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, doesn't mean that they are? All right? For instance, out of that 63%, 57% of those don't even believe that the Holy Spirit is a real personality. And the vast majority of the 63% don't believe there's a literal hell. And so there's a lot of discussion there about what does it mean. And so I don't think, and I realize I can be wrong here, but I don't believe that 63% of America is born again. And so rather than saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I think there's a better term. And here it is. Christ follower. Christ follower. So we're going to dive into this, what does it mean to follow Jesus? How does following Jesus change your life? How does it work? I'm glad you asked. And the first thing we need to do, I think, is settle this issue. What does this word follow mean? What does this word follow mean? Now, this is the Greek word akaluthao. And I know that doesn't mean anything. But the word in the Greek language literally means one going in the same way. One going in the same way. And it carries with it the idea of union and likeness. Okay? You with me so far? And by the way, when Jesus was calling people to himself, this is the word he used. Turn with me to Matthew, just about two pages left in your Bible, to Matthew 4. And look at verse 18. I'm going to back up, Ellen, just a couple of verses. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he, that's Jesus, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and there you go. And so we see Jesus telling and calling his disciples, come and follow me. Those two sets of brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, James and John, told them both the same thing, come and follow me. And by the way, they immediately left their way of life to follow his way of life. And that's huge. And then you go on over. We won't turn there, but you go on over to Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus meets a tax collector by the name of Matthew. And he says, come and... Yeah. And then in Mark chapter 10, Jesus met this rich young ruler who was a very good moral man. And Jesus told him, follow me. In describing discipleship in very descriptive terms, in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, he said, whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so following Jesus means, when you look at the lives of the disciples, means to identify with him in every way. You want to become like him in your speech, in your attitude, in your thought processes, in your spirit, in your heart, in your actions, in your life. You want to be like him. Now, when Jesus called the 12 to come and follow me, they left everything to follow him. And they left their livelihood, They left their occupation, their way of life, in order to follow His way of life. Now, we're not talking about perfection, because we all know the disciples weren't perfect. And we all know that the person that you're sitting beside is not perfect. But, anyone who is a Christ follower has the desire deep down in their spirit and in their heart to follow Christ in His example, in word and deed. Y'all with me so far? I want you to wrap your head and your heart around what this word really means. And so, they had surrendered to that kind of lifestyle. They were becoming like Jesus. And I date myself all the time. But back in the early 90s, there was a commercial that came out about Michael Jordan. Do you remember that commercial? That's it. Be like Mike. Not just do it. We don't want to go there. We want to be like Mike. And you know the commercials, everybody was wanting to be like Mike, be like Michael Jordan. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. For those who are following Jesus, we want to become like Him. Amen? We want others to see Him in us. And so I think we've kind of missed that in this superstar generation that we live in today. And so I want to begin this morning by asking you, have you surrendered to His way of life? That's what it means to follow Jesus. Have you surrendered to His way of life? Do you want to be like Him in your speech, in your words, in your actions, in your deeds, in your thoughts, and your all of that? Do you want to be like Him? Are you walking in union and likeness with Him? That's what it means to follow Jesus. Has anybody ever told you that? I'll just go up and shake the preacher's hand and you're in. Wrong. It's the biggest decision of your life to follow Jesus. Because it determines not only what's going to happen in this life, but where you're going to spend all of eternity. All right. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that word follow mean? It means to follow the Lord in His example, in word and deed, to become like Him. Now, you're not ever going to be Jesus, but we're to become like Him and follow and let go of our way of life and follow His way of life. When you got saved, I've said this many times, when you got saved, when you got born again, you made the last independent decision of your life. He calls all the shots now. How in the world do you think Wade Rainey winds up in Costa Rica and on the way to the Dominican Republic and Casey and the kids? Because Jesus spoke to them and told them what He was, and they're just simply following Jesus. And sometimes, man, He'll ask you to do things, and you'll say, Lord, do you know what you're asking me to do here? He always knows what He's asking. So that's what the word follow means. Secondly, let's roll over to John chapter 10. If you got a Bible, I want everybody to see this. John chapter 10. Followers of Jesus, we know what the word follow means now. Followers of Jesus hear His voice. Woo! Followers of Jesus hear His voice. John chapter 10. Let me start there at verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door to the shepherd of the sheep, to him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him. Why? For they know His voice. It's really pretty simple. Now, John's listeners, as he was writing, they would have understood this shepherd-sheep imagery. They knew all about that. And in that part of the world, those folks still understand the sheep shepherd concept. And and in John chapter 10, John describes Jesus as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And let me just kind of put it like it. At night, a shepherd would lead the sheep into the sheepfold, into the sheep pen, we might call it today. And then he would lay down in the doorway of the sheep pen so that the sheep couldn't get out and the wolves couldn't get in. Y'all with me? And then the shepherd would get up in the morning and he would step out of the door and then he would call the sheep by name. And the sheep would hear his voice and they would get up and follow the shepherd to green pastures. I know I've been chewing on this all week and y'all are just now getting it, but. And then after they were done in the pasture, you know what the good shepherd would then do? He would call them by name and then they would go to some refreshing still waters and drink. And then when it was time, he led them, when it started getting dark, he would call them by name and they would go back to the sheepfold and enter in one by one through the door. And the sheep were always listening for the shepherd's voice. Hear me. And when they heard the shepherd's voice, they responded by doing what the shepherd wanted the sheep to do. And so his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. It's really that simple, folks. Now, if you don't hear his voice from time to time, you're not one of his sheep. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being critical. I'm just being truthful. If you don't ever hear his voice, you're not one of his sheep. Because his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Now, an audible voice is obviously somebody that's speaking words, right? I don't tell you, Jesus speaks louder than that. I want you to flip on over, turn left in your Bibles just a few pages and look at John chapter 1. Somebody's going to get this and they're going to shout. You ready? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is not only the good shepherd, he's the Word of God. He is the Word. He is the Word. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is the Word. And he speaks every time you open your... This is the Word of God. And by the way, don't ever let me hear anybody in here saying, well, I'm just going to go by the red letters. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and preaching and correction and training in righteousness. Every word in this book comes from the Word of God. And it's not, I don't want to hear anybody in here say, oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. That's garbage. Every word in this book is inspired of God. And it all comes from the Word. I really wish, Billy, they hadn't put the red letters in here. Because it all comes from Him. And every time you open this book and you read, God speaks to you. Or He wants to speak to you. You may be hard of hearing. Hello? You may need to get some spiritual hearing aids. Because God's still speaking today. And when He speaks, His sheep hear His voice. Woo! Look at verse. Now let's go back to John 10. I want to read this one more time. The Lord says it in a little bit different way here. Verse 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, you would expect to say, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Now, it's important that you know Him. But it's even more important that He knows you. Because on Judgment Day, there's going to be a lot of folks standing there thinking that He knows them, and He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Does He know you? Well, if He does, let me read it again. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Hallelujah, there it is again. Followers of Jesus hear His voice. And, you know, sometimes I'll be reading my Bible and God will speak to me from a verse of Scripture. And then other times I'll be praying and God will, I don't even know quite how He does this in my spirit, but He'll prompt me with an impulse or a thought or even put somebody's face in my mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Well, that's God speaking to you. I had one of our ladies call me and come by and see me this week. And God has spoken to her. She wants to get a ministry started in our church. And you know what I said? Oh, don't do that. No. If God speaks to you about something, you had better do it. And so I said, yeah, let's go for it. That's great. Sounds like a good ministry to me. And so when God speaks, we've heard that voice and we follow Him. Let me ask you, do you hear the voice of God? Do you? And if you do, what do you do with what He's telling you to do? One final thing. Followers of Jesus hear His voice. Now, we're going to go to the Old Testament. Oh, that's Old Testament. Followers of Jesus obey His commandments. Now, watch this. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3. 2 Kings. Now, I know the church is not yet in view here. I get that. 2 Kings chapter 23, but it's got this stuff about following God here. This is really good. 2 Kings chapter 23. Are you there? If you don't have a Bible, I promise you I will get you one. You need a Bible. And it's okay to have the Bible apps and all that stuff, but I want to tell you what, I'm old school and I like this book right here. Amen? Well, all right. Followers of Jesus obey His command. Look at 2 Kings 23. Let me start at verse 1. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king, now we're talking here about young King Josiah. He was a young man here. King Josiah of Judah. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Imagine finding the word of God in the house of God. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Now, y'all know what a covenant is, right? That's a very important promise, pledge, covenant that is made with the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Watch this. To what? Follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul. To perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people took a stand for the covenant. King Josiah had it within his spirit to want to bring all of Judah. He wanted to restore worship. First there at the temple, at the house of God in Jerusalem, but really all over Judah. He wanted to restore true worship. And so what did he do? Well, he called all the priests, he called all the prophets, and he called all the people to the house of God. And there, he makes a covenant with them and the Lord that they might follow God with all of their heart and all of their soul. And following God meant that they would strive with their entire being to be obedient to the commandments and the statutes of Scripture. That's what it means to love God with all your heart and soul. I know I don't want to get up in anybody's grill this morning, but this is truth. If you love God, you have it in your spirit, and it is your desire to want to please God by obeying His commandments. And if you don't, you got major spiritual problems. And it is the hope and desire of this preacher and your pastor this morning that everyone would wrap their heart around the desire to follow God with all of their heart and soul by giving evidence of obedience to His commands. Now, just in case we've got a couple of these, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Somebody else that we claim to know said something real similar. Matthew 22. Some slick lawyer had come to Jesus and asked him, and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" Verse 37 of Matthew 22, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Does that sound familiar? "And all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now watch this, listen to this. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Got that? We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And the way we give evidence that we love God by following God is by being obedient to the commandments. And we love God with everything we've got, and we love people. We love our neighbors. Who's my neighbor? Everybody. Not just folks who look like me. Not just folks who look like me. And if you look like me, God bless you. Can I share a... I had a hero growing up by the name of Roger Staubach. Yeah. He was the quarterback. He was a Naval Academy superstar, served our country for 6 years, and then came back and began to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and led them to a Super Bowl championship in 1971. But that didn't happen overnight for Roger. He became the starting quarterback, and Roger felt like it was now his team, and he needed to be able to call all the plays. But guess what? His coach, Tom Landry, was a football strategist genius. I mean, this guy was way ahead of his time. And so Coach Landry called all the plays. He would swap out, you know, two players every play, and he would tell Roger when to run the ball and when to pass the ball. Now, in an emergency situation, Roger could change the play by audibling up at the line of scrimmage. But it better be an emergency, and he better get it right. And so Roger, by his own admission, said, you know, I really got a bad attitude towards Coach Landry because I felt like I ought to be able to call the plays, that I need to be able to lead the team. And he really wound up with a bad, bad spirit and a bad attitude. But he said, it wasn't until I faced up to this issue of obedience and just began to obey what Coach wanted done. And I began to enjoy harmony and fulfillment, and they won the 1971 Super Bowl championship. My brother, my sister, if you want true fulfillment in your life, if you want to have great peace and harmony, and you want to have victory on a daily basis, it comes through obedience to the Word of God. The Spirit of God lives in you, and He'll give you what you need day in and day out. You won't have to guess what God wants. He'll give it to you. And so, when you start thinking about commandments and statutes and all that stuff, I've come here to tell you, we believe in righteousness and we believe in holiness. I said, we believe in righteousness and we believe in holy living. We do. We believe that. And we love people. We love people. We're going the second mile in order to love everybody. That's why we had 9 or 10 of us down at the public library yesterday handing out supplies to needy mamas and needy families. We love people because Jesus loves people. And we're people of truth. We not only meet the needs of others and live a holy, righteous life, we're people of truth and we stand on the truth and we don't apologize for standing on the truth. And we're people of faith. We operate on principles of faith. We're humble. We're sober. In other words, we live as Jesus lived. And can I just say this? We don't just come to church, we are the church. We are the church. I saw a great post this morning, though, from Adrian Rogers, and he said, if you don't have enough, if your faith doesn't get you to church, it's probably not going to get you to heaven. Woo! Now that's up in somebody's grill. All I know is, if you're a part of the church, you ought to want to be the church. You belong to the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus was buried for the church so that our sins could be put away. Jesus rose from the dead for the church so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus ascended back to heaven for the church so that He might be able to pray for us at the right hand of the throne of God. And bless His holy name. One day He's coming for the church. Glory to God. And so I've said all of that to say this morning. Have you surrendered to His way of life? Have you? Are you following Him? Do you hear His voice? And when you hear it, do you say, yes, Lord? Are you following Him in example, His example in word and deed? Are you becoming like Him? Like those early disciples, wouldn't you come and follow Him this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I don't even begin to know who's following and who's not following. Sometimes we can play games. Sometimes we can look good on the outside, but rotten to the core on the inside. And I pray right now that the Spirit of God that has sat down in this place might speak to our hearts. That the Word of God would minister life to everyone here. Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you help us to follow you? And we can't follow you unless you're with us. Oh, God, help us today. If you're here this morning and you don't ever hear His voice, you really don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you'd be willing to turn from your sin, believing that the Son of God paid the price for all your sin, believing that He was buried so that all your sins could be put away, and believing that He rose from the dead, that He's alive today, and you'd be willing to surrender your heart and life to Him just by calling on His name to save you and forgive you, He'll do just that. That's how you begin following. But I believe there's many others that are here today. For whatever reason, you've gotten off track. And you need to get back on track. And you need to follow Him. Father, I pray with all my heart and all my spirit and all my love this morning. It is the desire of this pastor, God, to see everybody in this room following Jesus with all of their heart, soul, and mind. Get us obedient to your Spirit. I ask it in the name that's above every other name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you turn those lights down, Bobby, just a little. I'm going to ask everyone in the room today. Some of you have come for prayer earlier. But we're always open here. You know, that's why, I guess this is why nobody ever sits on the front row. If you can't kneel down, you can sit on a front row altar seat. And seek the Lord's face. I want to ask all of you to come and follow Him today. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Andrew's going to lead us. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.